Hello and welcome to Digital Insights, featuring topics from the BaragWorld.com blog. My name's Paul Barag, and on this podcast I offer advice on user experience and digital transformation. And today I want to end the year with a few words of encouragement. It's appalling, isn't it, how many people are responsible for digital projects without the power or tools to do their job. But if that's you, I want to encourage you not to despair, that there is hope and there is a way that you can move forward. I work with a lot of organisations and I come across the same scenario again and again. I see digital leads or project managers asked to deliver projects without the support they need to do so. Take, for example, one of the digital team leads I'm currently mentoring. He is to deliver a new website for his organisation and yet has none of the following. He has no control over his budget. He has no ability to determine delivery dates. No authority to make strategic decisions. He has no clear direction from management over what success will look like, and he has no support from a senior executive in making decisions and determining priority. In essence, management expect him to deliver a new website with no authority, no people, and no money, all to a schedule that he didn't agree to. He's in a seemingly impossible situation, but unfortunately, he's far from alone, and I see different versions of this scenario played out in many organisations. What then should he do? What, as his mentor, am I meant to suggest? Well, one option is to refuse to play the game, to explain that the rules are unfair and refuse to proceed until management change them. Of course, it's very easy for me to say that as an outside consultant, but effectively telling your employer that they're being unreasonable is much harder. And even presenting the facts to management doesn't guarantee some kind of revelation. Digital is complicated and often well outside their comfort zone. Unfortunately, instead of admitting that and listening to advice, many managers bury their head in the sand. They try to push on regardless through force of will alone. That leaves the approach that I'm taking with my mentoree, and it consists of three actions. Action number one, take control. If management are unwilling or unable to define the project and its deliverables, then it falls to us to do so instead. What's more, we can't simply suggest an approach and then wait for permission. That chances are that's never going to come. If management is going to be vague on details, it means that they're at their depth and they're scared of things going wrong. They're going to try and distance themselves from the project on some level at least. That being the case, we need to be the ones taking control. We need to make the decisions that need to be made without waiting for approval. We need to presume support unless told otherwise. But that brings us on to action two, which is communicate often. The danger of making decisions is that management will blame you if they're unhappy with them. That's where clear and regular communication becomes critical. By attempting to communicate with stakeholders, you protect yourself against later criticism. You also have a chance to engage with people and provide them with the opportunity to express their opinions. So when communicating with stakeholders, it's important to document three things. First, intended actions. Always let stakeholders know what you're intending to do next before you do it. Don't wait for their approval, but do give a small window for people to speak up if they're unhappy. Second, decisions. Make sure stakeholders understand any decisions that you've taken and why you took them. If they disagree with those decisions, they can respond. Otherwise, you can presume their support. Number three, assumptions. Every project has assumptions about audience, business priorities, and many other factors. Instead of asking stakeholders to decide, present the assumptions that you're working under. They can always correct you if they're unhappy. By communicating with stakeholders in this way, you create momentum. That prevents decision-making slowing the entire process down. You're effectively saying, "This is what I'm going to do, stop me if you disagree." It then puts the burden on the stakeholder to speak up and stop you. That's easier to manage than having to extract decisions from people. But as you communicate with stakeholders, communicate any potential risks often and early. And that is my third action, to document risks. Sometimes there are constraints in place on a project that make failure likely. For example, my client is being asked to create a website without any internal staff to write content. It also has no budget to outsource the job, even if that was possible. He can't change that constraint and neither can he work around it. All he can do is continue with other parts of the project and communicate that risk often to management. When the project does eventually stall for a lack of content, he can reference his earlier feedback. Effectively, he gets to say, "I told you so." It's important to note that documenting risk isn't only about flagging a problem. You also need to show the consequences of that risk. And you need to propose a pragmatic solution that gives stakeholders real options. For example, my client has pointed out that without more content editors, he'll have to use the in-house digital team. But they can only work on the new website once they've dealt with business as usual, which takes up the vast majority of their time. He estimates that even to create a 500-page new website is going to take months. Their current site is tens of thousands of pages, and that means the website is either going to take years or large swathes of the content will have to go. We then go on to suggest four possible solutions that management might want to adopt. That makes management feel like they have a choice and that we're not forcing anything on them. Either they can accept that the delivery of the new website will take a long time, or they can reduce the size of the website to something more manageable. They could find some more funding to hire content editors, or they suspend business as usual work to allow the in-house team to focus on the new website. That kind of approach makes the risk clear, but it also gives management options about how they can choose to handle that risk. Without a doubt, the position many people find themselves in is unacceptable, yet it's important to note that it's not usually done maliciously. In most cases, management don't understand how to run a digital project. They don't even know what a project of that nature should deliver or cost. They're basically out of their depth. At the same time, they're also expected to keep costs low and push for efficiency, so they're not going to blindly accept every request for more resources, time, or authority. It falls to us to prove that we need it, and I realise that can be a tiring battle sometimes. But please, don't give up. You don't need to let your project grind to a halt, crushed by organisational resistance. You can make things happen if you take control and communicate as you go.